have. We only seem to have so much time in the day. And has anybody noticed that the days have gotten shorter, not with the light out there at 4 o'clock, but the time frame that we have to accomplish something during the course of time? I see people in the canyon just flying by 6-7 cars. Why? Because they're late for work and they want to get there on time. And they'll run a lot of people off the road just to be on time when they didn't take their time to make sure that that was possible. We can't wait when we watch the clock. If you get off at 4 o'clock, oh my goodness, doesn't 3:30 to 4 just seem like forever? I mean, I'm getting off. I only have a little time left and I'm going. Time is really relevant in our lives. And being asked, what time is it, Doug? And it's later than we think. So I asked us to turn to Romans 13. And the Lord, I feel more than ever, is trying to get at least into my heart. You know, I've been hearing, I work in these acronyms, TNT, yeah. Time and Trust. That's what God is trying to instill in my life. Now, I don't know how that works in your life, but I think he was very concerned about time also. Verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we first believed." How much nearer is it? I don't know. Anybody been saved for 40 years? We put our hand up. Remember how close it seemed back then? As we were looking for just reasons. There it is. God's going to be coming back. Look at that. Look what's happening. But look now at the time that we live in. There is no greater time for the Lord's appearing than what you and I are living in right now. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. This is sermon. What the Holy Spirit is saying is, you know, when you go to bed, hopefully, and I'll say this just because there's little ones, you put your pajamas on, right? But when you get up in the morning to go to work, you don't leave your PJs on. You get dressed and you go out. And what he's saying is take the night clothes off. Get the stuff off that you slept in. Put on some work clothes. Get ready to move out is what the Lord is basically saying in there. The armor of light we know is in Ephesians, putting on the full armor. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not chambering wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Time. We think or we know people, especially younger ones. I hate to put it that way, but there's some older ones also. I've got plenty of time to accept the Lord. I've got plenty of time. Why should I do it now? There's still things I want to do. There's still things I have to accomplish. I'll do that later on. The Lord is saying, knowing the time, he's no closer than I feel he's ever been before. That's my feeling right now, watching the events of this world and the surrounding things. His appearing is very soon. I can't say that enough. So let's go to Hebrews 13 and see how that ties in with where the Holy Spirit has us in his word. We're in Hebrews 13. We left off last week in verse 5. Ha! Look, it gave up the ghost. Now I don't have to be worried. What time is it? We've got very little time. We're in Hebrews 13. We left off in 5, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, Jesus has said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Father God, help us each to hear your voice today. Father, not everything is to us, we know that, but everything is for us. There's an application. And although you might have written this to the early converts, from Judaism, the believers that came into Christianity, the things that they suffered. I know that your Holy Spirit has an application in my life, the life of Calvary Chapel, for these exact words. And I fear that our time is short, Lord. Even if it's just our physical lives, we never know when we might be called home. So help us to trust you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we saw last week was that we should, you know, very important word, should, be content with the things that we have in verse 5. Why is that? Because we don't like to hear it, but it could be a lot worse, couldn't it? Think of your worst day that you had this week. Don't think too long on it, okay? It's past. It came to pass. God took. But think about some of the things that went on in our lives. How hard maybe that day was, or that time frame. Some of the heartache, some of the disappointment, whatever it might have been. Think about that, but then also think that it could have been a whole lot worse, couldn't it? The outcome could have been different. There's people now in Israel that I wonder, where are they getting their food? Where are they getting their water? Saw Pat and I, again, the Federation, the Fellowship of Christians and Jews, about sending money for boxes of food, $12 a box or something, $25. Where are they getting their food? I mean, you know, we can say that PR plays up things, but these older women dressed in everything goes on, no, just kissing the food that they were given. How bad did I really have it this week in my affliction, your affliction? So the Lord doesn't want us in our lifestyle being wanting, always wanting something else, because number one, it could be worse. And number two, what that's saying is I'm not happy with what God has given to me in provision. And he is the Lord, my provider. So he wants us to really focus on that. Let it be without covetousness, wanting something. And again, what that leads to is it leads to a jealousy. It leads to a bitterness. It's an unhappiness when you see somebody else with more than us. Let it be without covetousness. And it again, is a result of a lack of contentment, what God has done in my life. So why is he trying to instill that in these early converts? Why is the Holy Spirit still trying to drum that into my heart right now? And I think our answer we're going to see is not only that he will never leave us or forsake us. He said that in there. He's always there, but I'm always looking somewhere else instead of that immediate turn to him who says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that, you know, the Word of God says, he's never seen his seed begging for bread. You know, we're not going to starve to death, is what he's saying. Be content. Don't be covetous. Put something in there. Turn to Deuteronomy, if you would. What I've been seeing this week, and I've said it for years, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. Right? The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. I've been seeing it more in the last couple of months than I've ever seen. The necessity of the Old Testament to go along with the New Testament, our knowledge of both of them, not just one, and what I've seen even more so in the last month or two is that the Church of Jesus Christ, not the Mormons, us, the believers, need to witness to Jews more than we ever have before. Their time is coming. They know this, they see this, but they miss Jesus. Now, when it said, don't be covetous, don't be content with what you have, Deuteronomy, I asked us to turn to 31. Look at verse 6. So I'm just trying to, you know, just a little sidebar. Old Testament, New Testament, same thing. Unfortunately, he had to go through that New Testament, I think, because of our stubbornness and our thick-headedness. He tried to give everybody then what they really wanted, but they couldn't accomplish it. But look at the gospel. Look at the good news that's in not only our New Testament, but the Old Testament. Verse 6, be strong And I think that stands for today more than ever. This was the appointment of Joshua, if you remember, and this is parts of God's law. But law and grace are so embedded with each other in his commandments in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's unbelievable. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He's always with us. He's walking with us. He's walking inside of us. He's right there. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Old Testament, but isn't it the same as what we just read? Mm-hmm. We need to get the word out. And especially, like I said, you know, we focus, and rightfully so, we focus. One time it was China, then it was the Asian situation, and then, you know, it's Islam. I fear that we're not doing enough for the Jews. I see our country turning against the nation Israel. And God says in here, I'm going to bless those that bless you. And I'm going to curse those that curse you. We are headed for trouble if we don't think about the Jewish population, not only in our own area, but over there, and stand as much as we can. If not, if it's just prayer, don't ever say just prayer. That the prayer of the righteous will avail much. We need to pray for Jerusalem, for the Jews that are, how much time have they got? And that they would trust in the Lord. John 3:16, I was going to bring that in. We all know that, right? But it goes side by side with this, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, what? Would not perish, but have everlasting life. God knew what kind of time frame you and I live within. But yet he trusted you and I enough with this gospel. And with the words of the Old Testament, I started thinking about that. God trusted me with his gospel. Trusted you, and you trusted every one of us that are called to it. Can you imagine what that must be? Why can't I trust him then? He trusted me with the cure, and you, and the church that follows him. He trusted us with the cure for life and death. It's right there. We've got it. Why can't I trust him? When the TV don't work, when I can't find the remote control, when something's going wrong, whatever the small things that we look at as major afflictions, I need to trust him because the time is short. So let's go back to Hebrews, if we would. Why? Why would the Holy Spirit, Old Testament, New Testament, why would he want us to adhere to this, to apply this in our lives, to understand those two verses? Why would he do that for them and for us? And I thought, well, he gives that answer, Doug. It's right there in 6. So that I might boldly say, one, the Lord is my helper, right? That's the one. And I'm not going to fear what man's going to do to me. But how many of us honestly, now that's easier to say, isn't it? The Lord is my helper. I shall not want, right? But to live it. How easy is it to say, I'm not afraid of any man, I've got the Lord. But then when the troubles come and fear and doubt come into our lives, it's easier to say these words than to believe them and to walk in them. And I think that's what God is trying to get across to us, that yes, it's hard, but it was hard for him to accomplish this. And how much time have I got to really trust him, to really think about those things that, man, okay, nobody's after you this week. Everything's going good. There's men out there who want to blow this world up. There's people that want to come and just take everything that another country. Are we in fear of that? We've got to focus on him is what I'm saying. You make the scenario in your mind, but I need to boldly say, I think that means with confidence, not just Christianese, with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and I'm not going to fear what so-and-so is going to do to me, what this one's going to do to me, what the world situation is going to bring into my, I'm not fearing because God's got me. He's got me now. He had me way back when, I'm sure. And he's got me for eternity. What can I fear? What a couple of verses that for some reason, situation, circumstance has been able to just take it from us. And we've got to get this into our hearts. I've always made a statement too. You know, what comes in goes out, doesn't it? And I'm not trying to be rude. That's a fact. And I'm out my mouth, of course. What we watch on TV, what we speak, what I allow to come in here is what comes out of here. How much I feed myself, and Taff, I know you know this because we shared it 40 years ago. The guy with two packs of dogs in a dog fight. Which, how do you always pick the winner? Because the one I feed the most is the strongest. So what am I feeding the most in this time thought and this trusting of God? What do I feed the most? Do I feed my physical body more than I do my spiritual? Because if that happens, we're going to slip and lose ground. If I feed my spirit, we're still going to slip. We're still going to lose ground, but there's going to be an inner strength. The outward man might perish, but the inward man will be renewed day by day by day. And I think that's what God is trying to get us onto some sure footing. So in order to believe this, I was thinking, it's not just, oh, I believe. You know, we use that word so flippantly, I believe. But that little word believe has such a deep set meaning. It goes beyond, I believe, you know, I believe if I turn the switch, the lights will come on. It's not that. But if you want to use that as an analogy, do you know how, when I turn that light switch on, that light goes on? How does it go on from wherever it comes from? I don't know, but God knows. I like to say now, it's voodoo. You know, it's just some kind of alien technology that we think is just a light switch, but it's not. We need to start to trust the Lord, not say it, but believe it. And we must believe that each and every one of us, we've got to believe, and I'll use Pat. I'm going to say something good to pick on Tom. You've got to believe, and I've got to believe, that God is able to do anything. Not just anything, because we all believe, is anything too hard for God? No. But I've got to believe that God can do anything in our life. Sorry about the rest of you right now, but I've got to believe that in these days to come, that God can do anything. Otherwise, I'm not trusting Him. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. Otherwise, I'm going to start to fear what man can do to me. And that's going to put me on some very shaky, shaky ground, sinking sand, because I'm not formed. I'm not molded into what He wants me to be in this time that I'm in right now, because I've let all these other things overpower my God. Turn to Psalm 23. I have to believe that God can do anything, but don't leave it at that in my life. My life. So that means yours. Yours. God's word has to be our footing. What came to my mind this week as I was sitting in there, these little lights kept coming on, and the simplicity of Psalm 23 came into my heart. And most of us knew this from a child, didn't we? Because if we had faithful parents, they spoke it at our bed, or they taught it to us in Sunday school or whatever. But I think for me to believe in the time that I'm in and to trust God the way He wants me to, this has got not to be just a memorized mantra. It's got to be in my heart. I have to believe this. The Lord is my shepherd. Is He yours? Is He? Is He? You're going to be shaving, you're going to be putting on the makeup or whatever this week. take this puppy and maybe write it out and put it on the mirror, because this is so important, so critical in the time that we're in. The Lord is my shepherd. He might be that one. Oh, you know, Craig and Doug, they're so faithful. I can't believe what they do. Oh, and Betty Moshe, wasn't she just some? The Lord was their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. If he's not, I'm begging you, please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Our time is short. And after this time is up, there is no trusting in the Lord. That's a fact. I shall not want. Oh, what did Hebrews just tell us? Don't be covetous, right? Be happy with what you have. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. These are things I've got to say. Oh, I want. Let's be honest. There's a duality in our nature. There's the physical man, there's the spiritual man and woman, right? And my flesh, I want to eat. You had to eat. I mean, it's a necessity. I shall not want. Or you could have said, oh, I don't want to eat right now. I want to be warm because I'm freezing to death standing out here in the snow. I mean, there's things that are okay, but that's not what God is saying here. He's saying that if he is our shepherd, we follow him. He leads us in those. We're going to see that. I shall not want. He makes me. Why does he make me? Because I'm Irish and I'm stubborn. But I know there's Germans in here. There's Italians in here. And your nationality has the same stuff as I got. He makes me to lie down. You know why? Because I'm not trusting him. I don't think I have time to do all this. So I run around and run around. He makes me. Almost like dad taking you to church in the old days by the ear. I don't know if they're allowed to do that anymore, are they? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Those places exist in valleys. They do not exist on mountaintops. They're down here. And when we get those valley experiences, that's when the time, oh, what's going on? What's God doing? I trusted you, Lord. He restores my soul. How many of you, like I said, have been down for the count and saying, this is it. This is about, I can't take anymore. I can't go any further. I don't want to even. He restores my soul. Seems like he's done it again today for all of us that are here. He's brought us to that point. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not so I might look good, but for his name, so that I might glorify him. Hence again, we need to witness more than we have in these last who knows how many, and especially be praying for the Jews, for what they're going through. This, our nation is lying in a situation right now that situation over there is going to form what's going to happen here. Do we see that? It's critical. And I want to be led in that path of righteousness. I took enough of the other paths. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to go there. We're all in that right now. There is a day that our physical lives are going to come to an end, one way or another. And even though I walk through this valley, like every other human on the face of the earth, I will fear no evil. Huh. Hebrews, we just read it. I won't fear what man does to me, for you are with me. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Those, we look at those as whipping sticks, don't we? They're not. His rod, and look into those. I don't know. Again, I think I've got plenty of time. Oh, yeah, plenty. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. I pray that they comfort. Sometimes it's rough. And sometimes the shepherd had to break a sheep's leg in order to get it to be compliant. And that's the picture of our Lord with his shepherd's crook. There is correction from our Lord because he loves us so much, just like every one of us as a parent. Wouldn't let our kids hop behind the wheel at 6 years old and go drive the car down to their friends. Why? Because we love you. I want you around. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Give that some thought this week. We just want everything to be beautiful, right? No trouble, no pain, no nothing. God's saying, no, you know, every table, I think, as I look around this room, every one of us, We're sitting at the Lord's table, but we each have a separate table that we sit at. And sometimes they're right there amongst enemies. It's work, it's neighborhoods, it's whatever. But the psalmist realized that, God, you did this. You put a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do I believe that? Sometimes we feel pretty lost, don't we? Sometimes we try to figure out what's going on. Why did this happen? Why did this happen in my life? Lord, I think what the Holy Spirit is saying, that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. When that comes into our lives this week, it's time to maybe turn around and find goodness and mercy right there, because it's following me. I think God is at a point like Dad used to when he'd let go of the bicycle seat. A lot of us are Christians long enough that God has let go of the bicycle seat, but he hasn't gone from us. And watch, I never saw my father run, but the first time he let my seat go, the old man was right there, right there. And God is that close. So you're feeling lost in the time that we're in. You're feeling like you can't trust. Maybe that's happening, just like the psalmist said in this psalm here. But turn around, because goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Not just some, all the days of my life. And the best part, when it comes to time and trust, as what this word is saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How long is forever? I wish Howard was here today. Yeah. Howard could tell us how long forever is. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Psalm 118. Most of us probably realize this. If you don't, it's time to write something in the bottom of your Bible. Psalm 118, verse 8, I'm going to do 5 though, 5 through 8. Verse 8 is the middle verse of the Bible. 770,000 words or something and everything, but this psalm is the balance point of the Bible. Very strange, isn't it, that these are the words that would be in there. It could have said anything in here, but it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's the center verse of the Bible. And it's exactly what we just read in Hebrews 13, verse 6. So 5, I'll go back to 5. You have time, read the whole 118. The Lord is on my side. That means the Lord is for me, in plain language. We just read that in 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord, verse 6, is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Oh, is it just me, or is God trying to get something through? The Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord, verse 8, than to put confidence in man. This is salvation, not only the middle verse of the Bible. Just to back up, you know, the Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire upon them that hate me. What's my desire for those that oppose me? Salvation or retribution? It's time to trust the Lord. Get those thoughts out of our heart. Get those thoughts out of our head. They build and they eat like a cancer. Verse 9, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, administrations. It don't matter who gets in. The world is going. I didn't say that. It's not my theory. God said it. That there is a new heaven and a new earth coming. Stop, Doug, putting trust in yourself, in man, in hoping that Donald Trump gets back in, because he'll kick some butt, won't he? Forgive me if that's wrong for saying it that way. That's all I hear. Might be true. He might not even get in because the Lord might come back tonight. Might come back tonight. Chuck Smith used to jokingly say, if the Lord doesn't come back today, he's missing a perfect opportunity. He's coming back. Stop putting our trust in man, our fear from man, our trust in administrations or situations. I don't know what time it is. What do we got? I want this so bad. I don't know about you, and this isn't legalistic. I just want to be so much more right in my life, not my statements. Oh, you're right. I don't care if I'm right. I want God to be right. Mm-hmm. I want so much in the time that I have left to be right with my Lord in the best that I can humanly achieve. Because you know, the flesh is so, the Bible says the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. I look at that and the spirit's willing, but my flesh is strong. My flesh fight, and I know what's being said, but my flesh wants to fight me. I don't want to make mistakes any longer because I don't know what kind of time I have. And I know you guys, every one of you, have some situation that you're in, marital, financial, medical, you know, everything. Kids, no kids, husbands, wives, no husbands, wives. I know we have this, but I want to trust him because I don't know what kind of time I have. And I don't want to make the same mistake that Asa, and I beg you, just bear with me on this one. Asa made a big mistake. And you know what? I'm going to go there. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, lessons from Asa is what I got this week, because I'm just doing my reading and whatnot, and this guy started off just like most of us, and unfortunately, time and circumstance did something. I don't want that happening to me or my wife or my family. I'd hate to have that happen here because I wasn't faithful enough. So this is a story about Asa, who reigned over Judah. And it says, so in verse 1 of chapter 14, 2 Chronicles, if you're there. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. You can see the opposite of that in like Judges 17, where there was no king, and the people did what was right in the sight of their own eyes. This is today. People are out there doing what's right in their own eyes. They don't give a hoot about anything, about legalities, about constitution, about other people. And Asa, too, did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Boy, that should be us, shouldn't it? You and I need to do this in our life. This might not be to us, but this is for us. And Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. For he took away the altars and strange gods and the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves. And we need to do this in our life right now if we're going to trust God. And the time that we have, we need to do this. For and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and do the law and the commandments. I won't go there. Write down if you have it, Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. In the Old Testament, in the law is God's grace and commandments. So what this guy is telling him is no different in the time frame we're in right now than what God is trying to tell us today. He took out, verse 5, took away out all the cities of Judah, the high places, the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Where's my high place? Where's your high place? Where's that one place that we're refusing to take out of the way right now, as Asa did? Because that's the one that'll get you. We can do 20 things perfectly right, and it's that one thing that we leave, that God is going to call us on. And he built fences in Judah, and the land had rest, and he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore, he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars. We need to do this in our lives, spiritual walls, spiritual gates, spiritual bars, because the walls are breaking down in a lot of Christianity, in a lot of lives, in my life. And it's time to rebuild those walls, just like Asa did. While the land is yet before us. I'm going to do that maybe next week, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year. No, while the land is still before us, I don't know how much longer we have. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and they prospered. And Asa, verse 8, had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. 580,000 men is what that is. And there came out against Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came unto, Maresha. That's 1,000,000 men. So here's, I won't fear what man's going to do to me. We've got 580, kind of like a little Gideon's army, isn't it? We've got 580 standing up against a million. But has your problem gotten this big? This is only up to you. We're trying to apply this in time and trust. This problem started growing, and it grew to 1,000,000 men. Has my problem gotten this big? Well, if it has, don't worry about it in a sense. God is for you. God is with us. And then Asa came out against him, and they set battle in array in the valley of Zephatha of Marissa. And Asa, verse 11, cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. That's us. What he's saying is there's none other than you. There's no other help than you, Lord. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. In thy name we go against this multitude. Jot down 2 Chronicles 20. Read that one. This battle is too big for you, God is saying. Therefore, stand and watch the salvation of your Lord. Tomorrow, go out, is what he's telling us. But time is of the essence, and trust is of the essence. I will let no man prevail against thee. So Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah and before thee, and the Ethiopians fled. Put God between you and your problem today, this week, in the time. Just try it. Put God there, and don't think. Like Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. Let's try our human best to put God between our enemies, whatever the problem might be. Just put him right there in the middle. So that story goes on. But then in 15, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin and Calvary Chapel and Doug Gibney. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, he'll never leave us or forsake us. What he's going to do is stop not doing, Doug, what you're supposed to. Stop not trusting me. But then when the real problem comes, please, you know. No, there's a lesson to be learned. And the lesson from Asa, I'm rushing here. Verse 7, you can go on to 15, says, be strong, therefore. Don't let your hands be weak, for your work will be rewarded. This is words that God is saying to us today. But what happened? What was the lesson that I saw with Asa? Because there's a lot more reading here. And if we look at 16, in the 6th and 13th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out of there or come in to Asa, the king of Judah. So all of a sudden, another problem comes. You ever notice how, yes, you've got problems, I got problems. They come in our life. But you ever watch how the Lord moves them out? But then the next one always seems to be a little bit bigger problem. It seems a little bit harder to trust. God's got it designed that way. If there were just little wimpy problems, we would never grow. And that's what's happening to Asa. He had this great victory because he trusted in God. And now here comes another problem into his life. But what happens to him is what I fear happens to me too often. It says, then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus. Here's his first mistake. And this is mine, not trusting the Lord all of a sudden. Go to this one, go to that one. Oh, if I only do this, if I sell that, if I you know, get rid of this, everything will be okay. He stopped trusting God. And he was going to man in fear, in a sense, but going to man for some help. And the story just keeps on going. I'll jump ahead to 7 of chapter 16. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and Ath and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Isn't your problem big? It is big. Somebody might say, oh, that's not that big. I wish I was had that problem. To you and to me, the situation that we're in is monumental right now. It's big. Don't deny that. But don't trust in somebody else. Trust the Lord. Because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered you out of that. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, verse 9, throughout the whole earth to show himself. Underline that, please. I don't know how you're holding up with what you're going through. How did you do it? And a lot of Christians will say, well, you know. Never touch the glory. God is looking for somebody to show him strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards the Lord. Lessons from Asa. Our time is of the utmost. The trust in the Lord is even more important. This week, when you see an opportunity of trusting in yourself to get out of a situation or make it different, I think the Lord wants us to trust him. As foolish as it might seem at times, to put it into his hands, because he says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 12:9, in your weakness, my strength can be seen. My grace is a very little word. My grace is sufficient. Period. Really? Not could be, not might be, not if you say it the right way. Our heart, just like Asa, needs to be towards God. And when a situation arose, for some reason I can't speak to his heart, but Asa's heart just kind of went to, maybe I need some more of this. Maybe I can pay for this. Maybe money will get me out of this. Maybe a new job will get. Trust in the Lord. His grace is sufficient for us. Amen. I'm going to end there. Father God, this is so much easier to hear at times and to speak than it is to walk in. And you tell us to walk by faith. You tell us to seek you first and your kingdom, and all this other stuff that we think we need will come to us one way or the other, Father. So help us this week, as I know the enemy is going to assail many hearts this week, especially with what we've just heard and how you want us to be aware of the time that we're in, and you want us to trust you more than we have up until today. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to endure, to hang on, to do our very best as humans to follow you, Lord. Hold on to you that we might receive that goodness and that mercy that you've got watching our six. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I was right on time. Amen. Let's stand and worship an almighty God.